So if you have your phone or your tablet or your old school Bible, if you could turn to Luke chapter 8. Holy Spirit, I ask that you just come and complete the work that you predestined for us today. We sang about you coming and healing, and that you're in our midst doing things, Lord. And I believe that you are here. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 26. And they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he had come out unto the land, he was met by a certain man from the city who was possessed with a demon, and who had not put on clothing for a long time, and was not living in a house but in the tombs. And seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had been commanding the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had seized him many times. And he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard, and yet would burst his fetters and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they were entreating him not to command them to depart to the abyss. So you realize Jesus is not speaking to the man. He's speaking to all the demons that are in him. Now there was a herd of many swine feeding there on the mountain, and the demons entreated him to permit them to enter the swine. And he gave them permission, and the demons came out from the man, entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. And when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported it to the city, and went out in the country. And the people went out to see what happened, and they came to see Jesus. And they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting down at Jesus' feet, clothed in his right mind. And they became frightened. And those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well. And all the people of the country of the Gerasenes and the surrounding district asked him to depart from there, for they were gripped with fear. And he got into the boat and returned. To me, this is a very interesting account of where Jesus ministers. It's unique because no one came to solicit Jesus on behalf of someone else. And we know that was done by the guy who was a paralytic, and he had friends drop him down in front of Jesus. And then there was the centurion who had the Jewish elders sent out to Jesus to bring him in because of his servant was dying. And then of the woman who asked Jesus to come and save her daughter who was demon-possessed. And it's also not a situation where a single person went up to Jesus, right? And like Bartimaeus, who said, "Jesus," he cried out to Jesus on his behalf because he was blind. And nor was it like the woman who knew if she just touched Jesus' garment, the edge of his coat, that she would be healed. It was neither of those. There was no one to stand between this man and the Lord, and he couldn't get up himself. And Jesus knew that, and so he went himself. And the other thing that's very interesting is where he went. He went on the other side of the Lake of Galilee, which is no longer basically part of Israel. It's actually Jordan. And there was a particular people over there that were not part of the Jewish community. In fact, they were raising pigs. They had a herd of pigs, which was not appropriate in the Jewish community. So I'm going to switch channels on you, okay? This past Thursday, we were working on our Bible study about spiritual warfare and about the armor of God, which is found in Ephesians, because it says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with demonic forces, and that we are supposed to be clothed with the armor of God, and we focus specifically on the helmet of salvation. And the helmet of salvation was very interesting in our discussion. And so first, one of the first things we did is we actually went over what is the gospel of salvation. And many of us know this, is that Jesus came to give his life. He shed his blood in order to be a propitiation for our sin, or a substitution for our destruction. And because of that, those who believe in that act, those who believe in Christ, would be saved. And but the discussion went a little further than that. One second. So here we are in home group, and we're talking about the need for the helmet of salvation. And we talked a lot about the mind and how the mind works and things that come up. And one of the things that came up had to do with these, whether you want to call them a voice or a thought or a sense of what has happened in the past, choices that you've made, maybe sinful or not, but you made choices and they had bad consequences, and you're sitting there feeling bad or ashamed about it, and you're constantly being reminded of that, and that thought keeps coming to you. Anybody ever experienced that stuff? Like, what if you should have done this, or what if you did this? And it's like all these thoughts just plaguing you, right? And then one of the brothers there, he works in the emergency medical field. And in the emergency medical field, there are many, many employees that have difficulty with anxiety. They have sleep disorders. They have all kinds of crazy things going on in their lives. Why? It's because daily they see the destruction of flesh and of death. And it's day after day after day, and they see horrible scenes. And how do you deal with those visions and those emotions and things that come upon you? And so it's like, you know, we're saved, but we're having these things that are going on in our psyche and our emotions. And then there's the other things that the enemy likes to throw at us, has to do with, you know, the sins that we've committed or the things that we've overcome, whether they are addictions and things like that. And the enemy just brings those temptations and those thoughts about, you know, go do that again. You know, this is, you're never going to succeed, and blah, blah, blah. And I believe that every human being is plagued with these kinds of things, because this is the work of the devil himself. If he can't break your leg, well, he'll break your heart. If he can't give you a heart attack, he'll crush your thoughts and your emotions through the things that he does. Came to encourage you today, right? Now, after the home group, I thought of a couple other things that I personally have experienced. This happens to Vera and I often. We'll go into a particular neighborhood, and all of a sudden, these feelings and emotions come up. about some bad things that happened in that community. And it's just like it does something. It stirs something in you. And it's like, oh, I don't even want to be here. There was a time where we just like, why don't we just move out of this town? Because we know of all these bad things that have happened. And yet we said, no, we're called here because of those things. We're called here because people need Jesus. They need to see light and salt in the midst of this, you know. Here's another one, and I don't know how many can relate to this, but these things have happened to me where I may be looking across the room, and I may not even be looking at a particular person, and all of a sudden the person says, "What are you looking at? Or what's your problem?" Now, I didn't say a word, right? And I may not have even looked at the person. But she's like, well, what's that all about? So like all these things just start flooding through your mind about this person's thoughts and who they are, and talking about me, right? Or reversed, right? Anybody experience that? Come on. What is that? Where is that from? Who cares what people think about you? Anyway, what was the other one? Now, this is something that I wrestle with, and I believe the Lord is healing me from this, and he's allowed it to stay for a particular reason. But sometimes I feel like I'm being spoken to like a child, and immediately I react to that. And I become like a child. And I respond like a child. Right? And I lash back out, trying to say, you know, you hurt me. But something's been already hurt. You know what I mean? Something's already been hurt to me as a child. And I know that. I know that here. But those feelings, those emotions are there, and they're still plaguing me sometimes. And what is that? Anybody say amen to that? None of us have been brought up in perfect families, right? So what was the conclusion of our night? This was my conclusion anyway. Many of these things that are going on, they're just temptations from the enemy. He's trying to get you to do things that you already know you're not supposed to do, or you don't want to do, and you don't want to go there anymore. But he just keeps badgering you. Just keeps badgering you. Because that's the world we live in. We live in a fallen world. And it's really falling apart right now. They're just words thrown at us by the devil and his demons. And they're real. We need to recognize that that is real and where it's coming from, because we're wrestling not with one another. We're wrestling with powers and principalities and forces of darkness in heavenly places. It's a real thing. We need to see that and understand that. Not only for ourselves, but for us to be able to discern that in others and help them out of that. Because God wants it to be a victory in that. Because that's why he came to live in us, so that he can work in us and through us. And even in all of our difficulties and our failures, he works them all together for good. Let's turn to Isaiah 61. This is the passage where Jesus quotes the first half of it in part. But I'm going to read the whole thing because I believe it applies to what we're speaking to today. Isaiah 61, starting in verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. There's the gospel. the good news. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of spirit of fainting. The mourning, the fainting, those things that the enemy wants. He wants us to be in that place. But Jesus came to give us something better, so that we will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. God has taken us and he's planted us as this new tree in this fallen world to be seen as oaks of righteousness. And it's something that he had planted. But I want to focus on one word here. It says in verse 1 that he came to bring good news to the afflicted, and he has sent me, meaning Jesus, to bind up the brokenhearted. Now, the term bind up here is not putting somebody in chains or fetters, but it's someone who wraps cloth around you for healing purposes. And brokenhearted is a, just as it is, brokenhearted is a two-piece word in Hebrew. And the first part of the word, I'm not going to try to pronounce the Hebrew. I could try, but I'm not going to bother. But the first one, which is transliterated L-E-B, it means inner man, mind, a will, or a heart. It's interesting. They're all on the inside. He came to bring healing to the inner man, to your mind, to your will, and your heart. Now that which is broken, it means to break or break in pieces, crushed, shattered, fractured. That's who we are before we come to Christ. We have a broken heart, a fractured will, a crushed inner man, or a shattered mind. That's who we are. But Christ comes, he comes into us, and he begins to make all those things new. But some of those things are still there, right? Some of those things are still lingering. Let me just give you a couple scenarios. Your sin may have occurred. It's been forgiven by God and possibly even reconciled with the person. But there is still the wound of the inner man, of the heart, that was crushed and shattered into pieces. Your parents divorced, and for years you were told by the enemy that it was your fault. That is such a common scenario. Such a common scenario. So now, even now, as years pass, there is still that feeling or being the one who caused the breakup. All your hurts and pains from the divorce. Certain phrases, smells, photos trigger the shattering you experienced all over again. You work in the community for the police department, fire department, EMS, even the emergency room doctor or the nurses and the labs there, lab techs there. Day after day, you witness the trauma and destruction of human flesh. You try to shake it off, but the images keep coming back, even in your dreams. Give you a couple of one testimony specific. There was a many years ago in a home group I was attending, there was a brother who had come from Vietnam. And I just knew he was being tormented all the time. And he, at the time, had turned to alcohol. And I think because of his circumstance, he wound up coming to the home group. So we tried to pray for him and speak to him. And but there was this one time, it was just blew me away. We prayed for him. He was sitting in a chair, and he pushed himself back so hard. He must have went back about 6 or 7 feet and hit the wall. And so I knew that that was not him, that there was a demon there that had come because of what happened in Vietnam. I don't know. I mean, I've heard stories, I've seen pictures, and the horrors of men and women who've gone through war and the stuff that's ingrained in them and their psyches and their emotions is hard. It's so hard. And then they try to cover it up. And sometimes the only way they can deal with it is they just start chugging alcohol and just dull the pain. You guys heard the story of Louis Zamperini in World War II? He was a guy who was shot down in a plane, spent 40-something days in a raft. Then he sees a ship, thinks he's being saved, and it's not. It's the Japanese. They take him off to a Japanese prison camp, and they just brutally torture this guy. And he comes home after the war, and he's brutal. He's brutal to his wife. He's alcoholic. But you know, he goes to a Billy Graham crusade, and he gets saved. And he got saved. He forgave all of his captors. He went back to Japan, to the Japanese prison, and told those people, "I forgive you." The power of Jesus. And that power of Jesus, like Peter was says, isn't some outside source. It's in us. Jesus lives in us. But he's a gentleman. He's a gentle tenant, putting up with some of our stuff and things that are still there, because some of the things he wants to use, right? You don't have to turn there, but this is in Matthew 11:29. This follows and parallels Isaiah. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And that soul, the word soul, is the Greek word psyche. It means heart. It means your life, your mind, your person, your soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I will give rest to your psyche. I will give rest to your mind. But we need to make that choice. It's a process. Yes, we're saved. He comes and we hold on to Jesus. As long as we hold on to Jesus and stay yoked with him, it says he will give rest to our souls. But we don't always hold on. We go try other things. Maybe I can do this. Maybe I can sneak this in. Let me go to a fortune teller, right? Let me just read what the newspaper says in the back. So what is it that's causing these inappropriate reactions? Someone's belittling comment toward us, or the look we interpret as mistrust or dislike. The fear and anxiety of going to bed at night, knowing the sleep is deprived and filled with nightmares. Going down that street and passing by that pizzeria where we witnessed a shooting. Stepping inside school, even for children, right? Day after day, where they're often bullied. I can't imagine the anxiety of the children today in school. We've got police officers with guns around the school. I mean, what the heck is that? Or even going to work to face that person again. I gotta be with them today. So what is that, right? Well, one, I believe some of these are just inner wounds which Jesus wants us to heal, right? They're just wounds that he wants you to heal. Some are bad habit patterns, which we've learned to recognize and take and to take control over. See, there is a spiritual gift called self-control. So I think some of those things God leaves because he wants us to learn self-control. Take your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And don't go there. Say no. Learn to say no. No, no, no. Jesus is my Lord. He is my way. He is my truth. He is my life. And he may let that linger until you finally say, Jesus is Lord. He is my Lord. And I give it all up for him. And then there are the demons themselves, as we saw in the scripture. Here is a man totally out of his mind, totally out of his mind, fully controlled by demonic powers, living inside of this man. The demons themselves who have been given permission to harass us. And guess who gives them the permission? We do. Some of the reasons for opening a door are unforgiveness. We heard about that from Ricky Ibarria, about forgiveness, how important forgiveness is. That's the gospel. That's part of the helmet. Jesus forgave me. Forgive one another as if I have forgiven you. And if we take that helmet off, I don't think I need to forgive him. Right? No, keep that helmet on. What about being envious or jealous? You know, those are sins. When you're envious or jealous of somebody, you want something that they have that you don't. It's being selfish and greedy, self-centered. And what do? We open up the door for the enemy to harass us. Continual unrepented sins in our lives. Again, seeking spiritual advice from sources other than the Holy Spirit. Addictions. There are people who have addictions, and it's just a wide open door for the enemy to wreak havoc in your life. And then there's the reality of generational curses. That's permission given by our ancestors. But all of these things have a solution. And Jesus is the solution. Every single one of them has a solution. It's not the psychiatrist, because the psychiatrist does not deal with the spiritual realm. They deal with the body and the soul, and they do a very good job. and they understand it very well. But you need to understand as a Christian that we're dealing with spirits, and they don't believe that, the secular world. But that's where all these problems originate from. They place the blame on, oh, it's your parents, or this, it's the situation, but not realizing what was behind the situations and all those things was the devil himself. And if we understand that, then our battle is half finished. Because now we know where to focus. And you've been given the authority over the devil. And some of you, like I was fearful to tell the devil where to go. But God wants us to be oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. We stand righteous because of Jesus. It's his righteousness. But we are being sanctified, and these are steps that we must take to put on and to take off. Take my yoke upon you. That's an action we need to take. Back to Isaiah 61. I'm just going to reread it. Because now I think the scripture will make a lot more sense. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So I sensed that there was two purposes for this message today. And one has to do with our healing and our deliverance from the wounds inflicted upon us by our enemies. And I want to give opportunity for the Lord to minister to us. But the second has to do with our equipping. The Lord wants us to be equipped in this. There's a saying that says, hurt people hurt people. Healed people heal people. Sometimes we're going around with a lot of these things and we try to bring healing to someone and we can't because we're a mess. But the Lord wants to equip us all, because what the Lord has been speaking to us is that things are in the process of changing. That God is going before us and he's paving a way, because there's a great harvest coming. We sing it, we say it. Do we believe it? I believe it. That's why he's shaking things, because he's calling people out of darkness into his light. And he's given the church opportunity in those places where the church is being light and salt to people that are dealing with these horrors and these anxieties and these issues, whether it's through economics or whether it's through war, whether it's through persecutions, whatever it is, it's happening. And it's happening in more and more places today. And we're not going to be exempt here. We're not going to be exempt. But he wants us to be equipped so that when they come in, we can discern what's going on in the spirit and realize they really don't need counseling. They need deliverance or they need healing. They need to get the helmet of salvation on and the armor of God to protect them from all the schemes. Why? So that we could stand. Not so we can hide in the corner. It's just so we can stand. We are able to stand in the presence of the enemy and tell him what to do. Stop listening to his lies and his schemes. They'll still come, but you have the Holy Spirit. And he will remind you of his word. And that's exactly how Jesus defeated Satan in the desert. It is written. It is written. It is written. Get out of here, Satan. Luke 5:31-2 says, Jesus answered and said to them, "It is not for those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick." And he put that with, "I have not come to call the righteous," or those who don't need a physician, but sinners who are sick. And guess what? That's who we were. Sick sinners. He came for us. Is that awesome? He came for us. He came for you. He came for me. To set us free. Second Corinthians 5:16-17. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now that's a reality, okay? It's a positional reality, but yet God is in the process of cleansing us out and making us into that new person. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living, holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. One more. 2 Corinthians 5, 13-15. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of a sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that we may no longer live for them, so they may not live for themselves, but for him who died and rose on their behalf. There's the gospel and the gospel of the kingdom. He died for us, and now we're willing to lay our lives down for him. So I just want to ask if this is speaking to you, if God has spoken to you about any things that may be lingering in your life. It could be very small things. If there's a witness to you in that and you would want, I just want to say a prayer for everybody. If that's you, just please stand. And I just want to pray so that the Lord will bring the healing necessary to rid of those things, those triggers that are going on. And if there are other things that you're having to deal with that you don't want to deal with publicly, then we'll find somebody that you trust and work through them, because God wants us all to be healthy and clean and be that oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen. So, Father, you know each of us so intimately, Lord. You know the wounds and the hurts and the things that have crushed us inside. And, Lord, we may have reconciled on the outside, but there are these things that are just lingering. And I'm asking, Holy Spirit, now, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you would come and just heal those wounds. Heal those wounds now, I ask in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, touch them. Touch it, whether it's in the mind or whether it's in their psyche, or whether it's in their emotions or even just in their heart, whatever, wherever it is, Lord. I ask that you would just remove the pain. Remove the scars that the enemy has inflicted on your people, Lord. And Lord, if there are open doors in the lives of any of us, Lord, Lord, show us why the door is open. And that, Lord, you would lead us each individually how to shut that door and say, no more. I am done with that. I am the Lord's. I'm going to put his salvation on, and I'm going to walk that way for the rest of my life. Lord, come, because what you did for us was so tremendous, the sacrifice that you gave for us was such a tremendous sacrifice, Lord. Lord, you're worth all of us. And Lord, let us close the doors of those things where the enemy has come in and harassed us over and over and over and over and over again. And just shut those doors, I ask, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your presence, Lord. And just lead us as the days come. If there are other things that are lingering, other things that will pop up, Lord, that we would immediately say, no, I'm not going there anymore. I'm not going there. I'm going to take my thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And I'm going to allow Jesus to come and heal me. Come and heal me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you.